How many of you know there's honey in the rock? You really have that cemented with inside of your spirit. There's honey in the rock. Everything you need is in Jesus, and he's the rock, right? I wish we really believed that, but we don't. Come on. There's still people fooling around the edges, thinking they can find what they need in the world. And you're not going to find what you need in the world. You're going to find it in the rock. Amen. Brother Christopher not here tonight? Oh, okay. I thought he was sick. We'd get pray for him real quick. Amen. All right. Well, Father, we truly do thank you. We praise you tonight. Father God, I look out across the people and I see those who are hungry and thirsty. And they want fed fresh manna from heaven tonight. They want to go forth from here, Father God, with something solid in their spirit that they can draw on for the rest of the week. And I'm asking your Holy Spirit, Father God, to move in an abundance tonight. Touch the faithful few. Take them, Father God, where they've never been to before. Raise them up, Father, into the heavenly places and show them your glory. And Father, I thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at Habakkuk, all right? The body of Christ, it does not understand that God is trying to get you to a place of security in him, that you will never, ever, ever again want the things of the world, but all you'll desire is him and him alone. You know, we come into the house of God, and a few come into the house of God because they're hungry. Others come into the house of God because it's a habit. It's something that you are supposed to do. God doesn't want that. He wants you to come into his house because you're thirsty and you're hungry and you want to get into his presence and receive more of him. I look around about me as I watch Christians. I look around about me as I watch this church, and I think, God, when will they ever understand that you are more than enough? That the things of the world mean nothing, absolutely nothing. And that without him, we are nothing. When are they going to understand that when they said they wanted you to use them, that they understand there's a cross to bear every day? And in order to serve him, you have to pick up that cross daily. And whatever that day holds, you go through it with the joy of the Lord. You're strengthened and established in God's kingdom. I really don't know what God is going to do to get to accomplish this feat that he's trying to get his church, a place he's trying to get his church. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to get it accomplished. And it's up to you whether or not you're right there in the very midst of what he's doing. No matter how hard I try, I can't get away from repentance. I can't get away from holiness and righteousness. Because without these things, you will not be able to see heaven. And it really bothers me, and I know it bothers God to see people sit in the house of God year after year after year and no change. No change whatsoever. I just don't know where all this is going to, but God does, and that's all that matters. And what we have to do is just continue down that road that he has us on, doing the things he wants us to do, whether we see results or not. Because God sees every heart. He sees every heartbeat. And he knows exactly where each one of you are going to end up at. I want you to be really, really aware of what you're doing in your walk with God from this point on. Because you determine whether or not God is going to use you. You determine how much glory is going to fall upon you. God has to know he can trust you totally, completely, 100% before you get the fullness of his glory dropped on you. I'm going to use an example of what happened here this morning. You know, I asked one person if they was able to prophesy at that given moment, and they said, well, yeah. And so I started to use them, and then I had prophesied to three people that I wanted Christopher to prophesy to, what God wanted Christopher to prophesy to again. And he prophesied the very same thing to the three people that I prophesied to them, but he used Chris's personality and not mine to do it, but it was the same message. Now, the person I had asked to begin with, you know, can you prophesy right now? And then if I didn't use that person for the rest of the service, that's fine. God wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And even though I asked this person to prophesy over somebody and Brother Christopher didn't know it, he just knew the person wanted the word, so he just went on, continued on and did it. How did you take that? Did you take that nicely? Were you repelled by the fact that after all, I was told to prophesy over them and you took the limelight? Or you see what I'm getting at here? Is your spirit the right spirit where nothing will faze you, nothing will cause you to get upset, and to be constant unity in the body of Christ? I want you to really think about this. If that kind of stuff bothers you, then you are not deep enough in God. I was prophesying to Brother Brett, and somebody was praying for Sister Nancy. That wasn't right. That should have never went on. That's not giving God honor in his own house. Did that upset me? It absolutely did. Because I have taught you people to honor God. You don't do stuff like that. And what made you do that? That you would go pray for somebody when I was prophesying to somebody else. You were breaking the anointing. And if you allowed somebody to pray for you during that, then you were in the wrong, because you should have said, not now, not now. God speaking. Why did you receive the prayer? I want you to stop and think about what you're doing, because you're destroying the anointing and God is tired of that. Now, if that bothered you, well, just suck it up. Because you have to hear these things. And I know some of you think that I'm hard. Well, hell's harder. I've been there. And until I went there, I didn't care if you went to hell or not. But once I was there, I went there three times. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And so I have to teach you right from wrong. And the only way I can teach you right from wrong is if I'm living right and not going into the wrong. All right? So I really, truly want you guys to start thinking really, really super hard. Why are you allowing things to happen into your life? And why are you doing what you're doing? And are you really, truly cemented in Christ and only want what God is doing in the hour? And I'm hearing God say, my son's heart is bleeding right now because my people are not honoring what he did at the cross. Every one of you in here, if you're going to follow God, you're going to carry your cross. Doesn't matter what that cross holds, you're going to have to carry it. If you're really sold out to God. Nancy Connell Willis had a great encounter with God. He came into her bedroom. And before that, she was dying spiritually. And a couple of us were praying that God would really get a hold of her and bring her back. And since she had that visitation, she's back. And she now is doing what the things that she should have been doing. What caused her to go off course? I don't know, and I really don't care. It's none of my business. But she's back on course. So what causes you to go off course? I don't know, and it's none of my business. But if we see you going off course, the staff does pray for you to see you get back on course again. You know, we go into the house of God and we have an agenda. No, we don't. It's God's agenda. And I always say, God, you know, I don't care what you've given me to give. If you want to give something else, then it's your service. You do what you want to do with it. All right. If you don't want to use me, that's fine with me. I'll sit and I'll watch. What's that? That's you want to steal my show? I think you need to listen to that song and really see what that song is saying. It's not what your agenda, it's whatever God wants to do. You go ahead and move, God. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be used. I'm just a vessel that keeps the doors open so people can come in and be ministered to. All right? So I just think to think about. We're getting ready to go into the deepness of the glory. And will you be there with us? What is your attitude like? And do you want somebody always paying attention to you? If you do, that's wrong. Or do you not care if anybody ever sees you again, as long as they see Jesus in you? We're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So what did we do? We have our vision written out. So whoever comes in the church and they're thinking about being part of the church, they can read the vision and they can run with that vision with us, or they can say, well, I don't want this vision. Then you need to go, because you need people around you that want your vision to come forth. All right, verse 3 says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God gave me this great vision for the church back in the early 80s. And I have not yet seen the fullness of the vision. And I asked God why. It's because you had the wrong people around you. They really weren't for your vision. They were there for their vision. And so I have declared to God, I won't have anybody around me anymore that is not agreeing with the vision that God has given for the lighthouse, because it's not mine, it's God's, and he wants to use this house. All right? And when I read the sign over the door, you know, I never paid attention to that sign. God told us to put it there, and it was there, and I forgot about it, but now I look at it all the time. You have entered into the portals of heaven. And if I have people around me that aren't for my vision, you know, God's vision for the lighthouse, they're not entering into the portals of heaven. They're entering into confusion. Right? Come on. Some of you just come to church here when you feel like it, and you go to another church when you feel like it. Then you go to another church and you feel like it. You're not really committed to anybody's vision. You're just bouncing around, and that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to be committed somewhere to God, where God's vision is, that you agree with. People don't like coming here because I teach repentance all the time. You're going to hear that until the rapture occurs. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Jesus Christ came preaching repentance. The disciples preached repentance. And God's had me preach repentance from the first day I opened the doors. And he hasn't told me to change. I don't like what he does sometimes, but he didn't ask me to like it. He told me to do what he asked me to do, be obedient. Each one of you would have a ministry, you need to do that. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if the people around you like it. It matters if you're being obedient to what God's calling you forth to do. All right, God is getting ready to invade this earth. Habakkuk was a seer, and we should all be seers. If you claim to be a prophet, then you should be a seer too. In other words, what God's been doing with me anymore is, as he's prophesying, he's showing me the picture of what I'm prophesying to the person. I see exactly what's happening to that person. So if you're not doing that at this given time, I would suggest you get closer to God and ask him, God, if you're going to use me as a prophet, then I need to be a seer also. All right? We should all be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit's guidance to see out ahead of us. Each one of you personally should know at this point exactly where God's taking you to, and you should be having a vision of what God's going to do with you. And if you don't, you need to get before your face before God until he shows you what he's doing with you. God wants us to set our sights on the future instead of allowing our minds to park indefinitely in the parking lot of the past. You're still feeling sorry for yourself. You're not moving anywhere. You're stuck in the mud. You know? You're still thinking about all what this person did to you. You're not looking for the future. You're still in the past, wallowing in self-pity. We can't do that no more. We have to move forward. We have to let God told us put the past behind you, because God's not working in your past. He's working in your future. And if you really want God to take you to the higher places, then you're going to have to get out of your past. It doesn't matter what anybody did, you might. Lord, look what you did to Jesus. Look what you're doing to Jesus every time you wallow in your past. Look what you're doing to Jesus every time you won't forgive somebody. Look at what you do with Jesus every time you want everybody to look at you and feel sorry for you. You know, you need to think about these things. If we choose to park in the past, we will go nowhere spiritually and remain oblivious to both the devil's strategies and our role in God's plan for this hour. This might be heavy for you tonight, but you need heavy. You need to get out of them diapers and get off that bottle, and you need to really be a warrior for Christ. Come on. Not just in words, but in deeds. Habakkuk's vision of a divine invasion. In Habakkuk 2:1, it says, Habakkuk said, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my post of observation. I really believe that we as Christians haven't been standing enough on our post of observation. Our eyes are too dim. They are too fixed on the things of this world. You know, I'm going to use Nancy for an example, and if she gets mad, that's okay. She'll get over it. She's out there in the woods. She can go out and scream at the trees. You know, she's supposed to be an intercessor in the church. She left her post. She quit interceding for the church. And, you know, I don't know if she comes to prayer meeting, but she used to come to prayer meeting and just tear the walls down. And she left her post, but God came to visit her. And now she's back at her post. So if some of you have left your post, God's going to visit you. And then it'll be up to you whether or not you return to your post and see what you're doing in your life. All right? The Father is trying to show us his vision and his plans for this hour. But spiritually, we are not paying close enough attention. All right? We should strive to be like Habakkuk, who stood on his observation post and said, I will watch to see what God will say within me and what answer I will make. See, you know, you guys are my sheep, so I have to watch each one of you. And I do watch you. I do listen to what you're saying. I do listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling me that you're doing. And my job is to keep you up before the Father until you get your act together and are truly the child of God that he wants you to be. And I'm going to tell you, some of you dumb sheep are drowning in the river of self. And you need to get out of that river of self. And you need to get where God would have you to be. All right, the church needs to wake up, because the day is upon the church when every one of us will answer to the Lord. And this was God's answer to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. We read it before. Make it plain. You need to write down what God is asking you to do. You know, write it down and look at it day after day after day until it becomes part of you. Write it, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. All right, so God said you're going to be a great prophet and you're nothing. Wait on the Lord at the proper time. He will make you the great prophet that he said he's going to make you. Whatever he's told you you're going to be, if you're not walking, you'll say, though I have people say to me, well, it just hasn't come to pass. No, it hasn't come to pass yet. Why? You're not ready to carry that anointing. And God's not going to give it to you until you can carry the anointing and not give him a bad name. So wait, ask God, what in me is causing me not to have what you told me I would be having? Pride will get in there and tear you apart. And Habakkuk 2:13 says, behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. God's going to drop his glory whether you're ready for it or not. You know, if you've been in the house of God and you've been here for years and years and years, and then you won't get your act together, God's going to drop his glory and bypass you. He's been telling us, I'm going to take your mantle and give it to somebody else. You are deciding what God gives you. You really are. All right, Habakkuk's response to the vision. Habakkuk said this prayer as a result of the vision he received of the earth filled with the power and the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk prayed for God to revive his works. In Habakkuk 3:1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. That was Habakkuk's reply to what God was showing him. Can God really show you anything? That's the next question you need to ask yourself. Do you really take time in the presence of the Lord and allow him to show you what he's where he's taking you to, or what's going to happen? You really need to know what's going to happen to the nations right now. You've done enough of this stuff. Oh, Lord, show me what you're going to do with me. Get out of here. You need to have God. And that's my prayer constantly. God, I need to know what's coming down so I can prepare the people for what's coming. It doesn't matter what he's going to do with me. If I'm going to stay at my station, then I have to be in that observation post seeking God's face of what is coming down upon your lives, upon the world. But too many people are too tied up in, what about me, Lord? Where am I at? God has mighty works. He does not do anything small. Parting the Red Sea was not small. Parting the Jordan was not small. Making the sun stand still was not small. You know, stopping the rain for all that time was not small. Remember, God told me, you don't think big enough. So I'm thinking big, really, really, really big. And so you might as well get ready, because I'm thinking big, God's going to give me big. And are you going to walk with me, or are you going to be dragging along? Are you seeing that? In your household, you should be thinking big. Instead of looking at dumb stuff that's going on, which is small, you should be looking at big things and expecting big things from God. I have a person in my household. God told them they were going to do something on October the 24th. And we were on the phone yesterday. I said, well, that's Monday. And they said, no, it's going to be the 25th. I said, no, it isn't. And they, yes, it's not. It's going to be the 25th, Mom. You have it wrong. I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to settle this right now. The court said the 24th. God said the 24th. And I said, I say the 24th. If it doesn't happen the 24th, then you can say, see, I told you so. You know, this person been hanging on this so long, they're starting to wane with their faith. And they're not trusting what they already know. That happens in the body of Christ all the time. God tells us something because it isn't happening right away. We start, or people speak into your ears. We start losing sight of what God told us. Are you listening? All right, Habakkuk prayed for God to revive his works. Is that where I'm at? Is that where I'm at, Nancy, or no? So Habakkuk prayed, revive your works, Lord. In other words, he was saying, Lord, make yourself known not just to me. Seeing so many of us, well, I want it, so I'm the only one that has it. That's why Catherine Kuhlman died. She didn't want anybody else to have the healing anointing. Make yourself known not only in the praise and worship services, but make yourself known to those who dwell in the dark places of the earth. See, this is what we need to do. We need to say, Holy Spirit, go into those street people. Go into the hospitals. Go where? You know, into the jails. Show yourself to these people that are lost and dying. Instead of always saying, show me, show me, show me, give me, give me, give me. And that's why when Job finally got set free from his illness, when he started praying for the people instead of himself, got his eyes off his own self and started praying for the people. Are you listening? He wanted the people to be blessed, and he quit asking God to bless him. That kind of prayer is so important. There are so many that will never know Jesus unless the church does what she is supposed to do and prays. James 5:7-8, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. What did he say? Be patient. Nancy Willis is the most impatient person I've ever seen, all right? Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it. until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for coming of the Lord is at hand. She's not the only one that's impatient, so don't you all look at her and judge her. Good grief. Come on. I'm just picking on her now because she's back and she can take it. Before she couldn't take it. All right, are you watching and praying for a harvest of souls to bring into God's kingdom? I mean, in other words, when you see somebody in the street, do you say, God, do they need salvation? Is there something you want me to do for them? Or just pray for them, God, they really need salvation. Please touch them with your spirit and revive them like you revive your church. There was two people in here this morning that needed Christ. And you and I had just asked them, do they want to give their heart to God? Today was the day God wanted to touch them. And even though they might have not reacted the way you wanted, you don't know what the Holy Spirit did inside of them. You really don't. And we need to quit judging the outward appearance. Because if God says, you know, ask him if they, you know, are saved, then he has a plan up his sleeve. All right, Habakkuk 3:3, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Think about all this stuff. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Because Habakkuk prayed, revive your works, O Lord, God came. See that? If all you young kids, if you would quit your carrying on in church and start paying attention to what's being preached, the Holy Spirit could touch you, but he's not going to touch your wayward ways. He's not going to touch you when you're sitting there carrying on and trying to, you know, interrupt everybody else who's trying to listen to the Lord. He's not going to touch you. He's going to pass you right on by. When you give him your full attention and you say, God, I mean, little Isaiah said the other day, yesterday he said, we have to go to church Sunday. I said, what? Because he can't wait to go to church. What did you just say? Well, you know, I'm just tired. And I saw, and you want God to hear you when you pray? Do you think he might get tired of hearing you? So we had this long conversation. He was really ready to go. And I didn't harass him, but I just explained some things to him. And he was ready to go to church this morning. You can't let your devil get a hold of your kids. I told him, since you turned 9 years old, you're somebody I don't know anymore. 9 years old must be a crossing over stage or something, right? I don't know. Because Habakkuk prayed, revive your works, O Lord, God came. Question, what happens in the reviving of the works of God? God comes. Instead of you fussing about how bad your family is, why don't you keep praying, Holy Spirit, come into my house and change the people in here. Instead of constantly talking about how bad they are, ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to drop on them and change them. When my boys get, you know, I never wanted a boy in my house at all. And I've had four boys since I made that statement. But anyhow, instead of you saying, you know, God, these boys are a mess, say, Holy Spirit, touch these boys. God, fall upon them and give them wisdom. And my boys do have a lot of wisdom. And they do come with me with things that are really deep. And I'm so happy because God is answering that prayer, you know. We need to start praying about our kids and saying, boy, they're a mess. All right, so I said, God comes when we pray. He comes to the streets, and wherever he invades, everyone knows it. The vision Habakkuk saw in the realm of the Spirit explains how he makes himself known. In Habakkuk 3:3, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. We read these scriptures again, but you need to get these scriptures down in your spirit, because when you really pray, and when you really press through, God shows up. I was so happy when, you know, every place I go, the anointing is just so strong on me anymore. And whenever he started talking to me about what he's going to do in my house, he was answering my prayer that I've been praying for about 6 years. He's showing up. Why? Because I've been persistently praying, and so he's come. And I think some of you need to persistently pray about the situations in your home so God can show up. Some of you, you've been going through some marital problems. I've been praying, steadfastly praying, and I'm watching your marriages turn around. And I think that's wonderful. But if somebody just says, well, look at that marriage, it's going to go through the hole somewhere. Nothing will ever happen. Somebody needs to stand in the gap. Somebody needs to be praying for what looks like impossible situations. All right? When God comes, the brightness of the glory shines like rays of sunlight into your home, into your neighbor's home, into every home that lets him in. Are you listening? His glory is going to come. Whether you prayed for it, so it's going to come. And so don't try to stop it when it comes and things happen that you weren't expecting. I just heard Brother Dry Bones come to life. When the glory of God hits your home, the dry bones are going to come to life. Your wayward children are going to turn around and come back to God. No matter what, you know, God says, your children will serve me. You hang on to that no matter what you see, because the devil's going to take them any place he can take them to try to get you discouraged. You just keep hanging in there because it's resurrection time. And God is doing a mighty works. Habakkuk 3:5 says, before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. When the flood of God comes, everything that is not of him is washed up and washed down. Absolutely everything. Nothing is left. My son-in-law, you know, everybody around him is either dying or having terrible things happen to him. And he said, why is it? He said, everybody's dying. There's sickness everywhere. God's trying to show him something. And until he really sees what God's trying to show him, it's going to continue to happen. And he really needs to get himself in the face of the Father so he can do what he's supposed to be doing, because so somebody doesn't die and go to hell. You see this? Maybe God's even trying to work with him to have a deeper walk with him so that God can speak to him and he can be praying about the situations. Every time something's going on around about you, it's for a purpose. And the purpose is to get you deeper into him than you've ever been before. Habakkuk 3:6 said, he stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Habakkuk said that the curtains of the land of Midian trembled. You see, God can shake cities and nations. He can do it, and he is doing it. He's really shaking your home. You might not know it, but he's shaking your home, and he's going to bring everything the way he wants it to be. If you prayed, now your prayers are getting answered, so don't get all shook up, because God's doing the shaking. You don't need a shook too. Amen. All right, I guarantee you God knows how to take care of the enemy. He is the Almighty God and knows just what to do to thwart the devil's attacks on his people. And you can find that in Habakkuk 3:9-13. Why does God invade this earth? For the deliverance and victory of his people. You think he hasn't been seeing what's going on? You think he hasn't been watchful? Do you think he hasn't been working behind the scenes? He sure has. And he's been telling us over and over again, I'm working behind the scenes. You can't see what I'm doing, but you will eventually. How many of you are upset about what is happening in the government? How we're, you know, that person sitting in that seat is destroying America. Are you really tired of it? Then you'll take it to the Father. I told God, I said, when are they ever going to understand what's going on? He said, when they begin to pray, I will shake the nations. Aren't you tired of being stripped of everything? Aren't you tired of socialism, right? They're taking us into socialism. Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of what they're doing to your kids in school? Aren't you tired of all that? Then you need to be praying. God, you need to move upon this. I mean, he has me praying for like that, like you wouldn't believe. He needs people to be praying so he can do the things that he's planned to do. Habakkuk 3:16 tells of Habakkuk's own reaction to what he saw coming in the future. You see, Habakkuk realized he couldn't do anything in his own strength to avert the calamity to come. We can't either. God was the only one who knew just how to fix a situation. He's the only one who knows how to fix a situation in your life. In the same way, God knows just how to bring you to the end of yourself. Hello. To the place where you finally admit you can't figure things out on your own and you start yielding to God. Boy, I cried out that one day, God, I can't figure this out at all. I can't fix it no matter what I do. So I give it to you. And if I try to pick it up, he said, whose hands did you put it in? I know what he's saying, so I walk away from it. You can't get your kids saved. You can't change your nations, but God can. You know, you can't make somebody love the Lord. God can't even do that. He doesn't even try. So we have to put those situations in God's hands and walk away from them. Because those kind of situations will keep you so bound up that you'll never do the works God's calling you to do, right? If you keep your mind on the things that are going on around about you. All right. In the same way, God knows just how to bring you to the end of yourself, to the place where you finally admit you can't figure things out on your own, and you start yielding to God. That is when you pray, Lord, to do something. I surrender. Your will, your way. Mine isn't working. Lord, do something. Revive your works in the midst of us. This is a day the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to contend for some things in prayer like we've never done it before. Our prayer meeting is not a prayer meeting. We have people living above here. Do not come down to prayer meeting. We have people living below. All they have to do is walk a few steps. They don't come up to prayer meeting. You are not sincere with God of what you really want God to do. I would love to be here Tuesday nights. That's all I can do to be here Sundays and Wednesdays because of my league. But I would love to be here because God used to move in prayer meeting just like he did in regular service. And we saw great signs, wonders, and miracles. I think we have about two people show up for prayer meeting. Shirley and Christopher, right? And who? Barbara Alsap. That's a shame. That's pitiful. Especially when you don't have to get dressed and go anywhere. Just come downstairs or come upstairs. I'm too busy. No, you're not. You just don't want to pray. If you don't like that, you can take that up with God. Not with me. Take that up with God. I've lost my place, too. You might be getting ready to kick me off my chair. I tell we must be known. Anyhow, I do pray at home, though, in prayer meeting. I really do. And we must be known as contenders for the plans and the purposes of God. We need to go to our prayer closets no matter what else is going on around us. Realizing that there will always be distractions trying to keep us from praying out the plan of God on this earth. Right? The consequences of failing to pray are, this is a story about the consequences of failing to pray. There was a missionary in China and he was a pastor. Just before the communist regime took over China, he walked up on the church platform for the last time and spoke these words. Whose fault is it that the communist regime is taking over? Whose fault is it that they are here? Is it the government's fault? No, it is not the government's fault. Is it our fault? The blame lies right here. The reason I have to leave you tomorrow is that we did nothing in prayer to stop this. You know, God told me this World War III is going to break out. And then my next question, is it going to be on American soil? He said, yes, it will come on American soil. Why? We are not praying. We have too many our own agendas, and we are not praying for the things that really matter the most. And that's the things that's coming across the land. All right, 2 Chronicles 7:12 says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. He's telling this. Telling this here to who was it? Solomon. He said, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. I pray constantly for unity in this church, which has not yet happened. But I know because of my prayers, because I'm the pastor of the church, God is going to do something. And I've been praying for quite a few years for the devil to get out of my home and for God to bring his glory back into my home. And so it's a home where I can bring people in. I'm just hearing God say the devil is contending for your faith right now. And if you aren't careful, he's going to steal your faith. And he's going to throw you overboard. And there's no way to climb back into the boat. All right, I lost my place. All right, in verse 14, notice this divine promise is conditional. God says, if your marriage is bad, then quit complaining to everybody else wanting pity. Get on your knees and pray for God to come into the situation and change it. I get upset about that. The people you complain to, you really, all you want is their sympathy and their pity. Oh, look at you, poor little thing. Well, you poor little thing, your marriage isn't going to last. I got to get my mind on here again. All right. I'm sorry. Just whatever God's saying is coming out. All right. In verse 14, notice this divine promise is conditional. God says, if the healing of the land comes only when God's people humble themselves and pray. Your land is your church, your homes, your community, your job sites, you know, whatever. It's only as we pray that God can move in your situations. Only God can send a healing revival. I don't pray to you guys, you know, seek God's face so we can get healing. No, I say, God, you promised me that you were bringing healing back into the church, and we need healing desperately. I told you, this is what I say all the time. God, everybody in the church has an affliction. The Lighthouse Church needs the healing to come back into it. We need miracles in the church so you can move us forward to do the mighty works that you want us to do. Amen? You know, and I watched Sister Grace and Sister Deborah down on their knees and they're struggling to get back up again, and it makes me understand how old they are, and they have those afflictions too. And sometimes I go help them up. But they're not giving up. They're in here just a dancing and kneeling, you know, and getting back up again, and because they love the Lord and they're committed to God, and they're, no matter what it takes, they have to drive, what, an hour to get here? You know, and there's, that's a sacrifice. I don't care what you say, that's a sacrifice. One way. You won't even walk down or up six steps. And then they have to fight that dumb traffic. I am so glad I wouldn't want to do that. You don't even want to get in your car and travel 6 miles. You're not dedicated. You just are not committed to God's works. I know some of you are saying, wish you'd shut up and have the altar call. But you just have to think about it as you lay in your bed tonight, all right? And please don't curse me because I already messed up from this morning. Made a few people mad in here. I'm going to bring that coffee cup and I'm going to set it on my altar. That's what I'm going to do. Well, what you should be praying, to pray, Father God, please make her quit teaching that way. God's not going to hear that prayer. Where am I at anyhow? All right. Only God can send a healing revival. We'll start there, okay? Only God can clean out a hospital of all its sick people. Only God can turn the hearts of rebellious teenagers back to himself. Only God can take children out of abusive environments and put them in peaceful homes. Only God can do it, and I believe he will do it as we become willing and obedient to pray. You know, when Gabriel's mother stole her out of my home when he was just a small child, we prayed. We prayed hard for 60 days, and we were working with a senator, and he said to me, Barbara, you're going to get your grandson back. And it wasn't but a couple days he was back in the home. But what they did to him, really, it was terrible what they did to him. So he has to work through these things that happened to him when the devil took him out of God's house. But it was through prayer. Larry and I prayed constantly for this child to be returned because we knew where he was taken to and we knew he shouldn't be there. God does answer prayer. Question, can we as believers expect God to show us about things to happen in the future, just as he showed Habakkuk? Yes, he absolutely can. Because John 16:13 said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. See that? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So don't tell me God doesn't speak. He does. You're not taking the time to listen, or you're too caught up in your own self to even hear what God's saying. This is telling me that the Lord is not just interested in helping us understand what is going on in this present moment. The Spirit of God living inside of us is also very interested in our knowing about the future. Brother Allen has so much knowledge, and he refuses to share it. I ask him to teach it, and he won't do it. I don't know if he writes books. I don't know if he gives it out anywhere. But his head is full of knowledge that the church needs. Are you listening to this? What is in your head that somebody needs and you are not giving it forth? Use this excuse like Moses. Well, I stutter. Well, God will send you a scribe. You know, but you need, if God has given you information, you need to get it out there. And I know Aaron is not writing his books. And I keep seeing in the Bible where God has his courtroom and where his people are supposed to go to. And how are they going to know it if you don't write it down in a book? I don't care if it hurts your feelings or not. Somebody needs to hurt your feelings. You love me not enough to say that, well, I'll forgive that thing later on. Come on. It's God's love for you people that he tells you the truth and does not want you bound up in a lie. And I don't care if you're a pastor, I don't care if you're an evangelist, I don't care what you are, you must take the truth to the people. You would just be shocked at what God would use me to do and say to pastors. Because when I was first on the scene, every place I went evangelizing, it was nothing but pastors in the congregation. And God revealed their sins. They didn't like it, but they invited me. And then they came, so they had to listen. They didn't have to listen. They could have left, but they, you know, if you get up and leave, then they, what's in their life that they don't want revealed? So you sit there hoping that God passes you by, right? Come on. So tonight, I said the Spirit of God living inside of us is also very interested in our knowing about the future. So tonight, God wants you to release your faith to receive supernatural knowledge and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to show you things to come. Now, if that is you, and you want to release your faith to receive the supernatural knowledge, allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to show you things to come, if you come to the altar, God is going to drop upon you, and that's exactly what you're going to receive. Now, if you don't want to receive, if you don't want to get any deeper with God, that's fine. Stay in your seat, but only come if you really, truly want God to reveal these things to you.